Amen. That is so good. What a blessing to see you out today. Thank you, and you may be seated. Amen and amen. If you are a guest and you did not receive one of these, I want you to raise your hand right now. All right, raise your hand if you didn't receive one of these. Fill out the card. Did you get one of those? Did you get? Amen. All right. Did you get one? Now, inside there is a card to fill out, and that is purely for information reasons. And we'd like to know who you are, who has honored us with your presence today. And one more time now, if you are a guest, this is your first time in a long time to be with us here at Central Baptist. Put your hand up so we can give you a round of applause. We got some right here and back here. All right. And back over there. All right. Very good. Amen. It is good to have everybody with us today. And it was good before the service to fellowship a little bit with Miguel and Sydney. And what's that youngin's name? Oliver. Shouldn't forget that. All right, Oliver. All right. Very good. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord with God's people in an old-fashioned Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And my things were humming around here yesterday. I'm telling you, they had a beautiful bouquet, was the title, of the annual Ladies and Girls Spring Tea. And First Lady Gwendolyn, my sweet wife, was in charge, but had lots of helpers. And so in the kitchen and preparing food and bringing and serving and doing and setting up and cleaning up afterwards and all of the things that I'm probably going to forget something. And we had security and we had transportation and we had all of those things going on. And a great time was had by all, and folks made decisions for Jesus, and many folks had good comments, and we praise God for that. In the future, we'll make available some excerpts. If you really enjoyed it and you want a little piece of what took place yesterday, say, yeah, I like some of that dessert that Tracia made. I'm telling you, all the food was great, and everybody is going to be blessed by it in the days to come. So some excerpts will be made available for some of those things, and you who are here can take a little piece of that with you. And some of you that weren't here and you would like to know what all the excitement was about, well, you get a little piece of it also. So praise the Lord. And mark your calendars, the last Saturday in April for 2025, we'll be meeting again and having another great time. Praise the Lord. All right. So some things coming up. You've seen advertised on our slides between services that the month of May is going to be a month of days of precious memories. And the first 2 weeks it's kind of the mini designation of close to home. We're going to have a series of messages, and on May the 5th, we are going to have messages on the family, morning and evening. Don't miss it. Our goal will be to tell you and share with you what the Bible has to say about having or developing a godly family legacy. I'm going to ask you to do this. We're going to set several tables out there. They'll have nice coverings on them, and it'll be prepared for you to bring your family Bible, if you have a family Bible that you'd like to put on display. It would be good if you have something that it stands up on, that's fine. Otherwise, just lay it there, and it will not be mishandled. And it'll be on display for that morning of the 5th. Also, if you have family pictures, if you've got old black and whites or color, whatever, it doesn't make any difference, photos of the family. The 16 kids or whatever in the family. So if you've got extended family photos or whatever, and we put those on display, we're just going to enjoy that, because I believe the first institution that God established ever on this planet was the home. And we're letting people know that we understand that. And the Bible, this is the best family manual. It's the only one that's perfect and perfectly right. And we're going to be promoting that, bringing messages. I'll have the morning honors of presenting the message, and in the evening, our associate pastor, Brother Tyler Candy, will have the message. His graduation dissertation was on the family, and he's going to share not the whole dissertation, because the last thing you want is for this preacher or that preacher or any preacher stand up here and give you a dissertation. How about let's preach the word? Amen. So that's it. We're going to make it very, very, very applicable. And so that's going to be on the 5th. So bring those Bibles and those photos, bring frame photos in, and we'll set them out on as many tables as we need. So, Brother Tyler, we're going to start out with like about 3 tables, but we're going to be prepared to put up 6 if we need them. Okay, so everybody can bring your stuff in. How many of you at home, look around, you'll find a big family Bible somewhere or a family Bible that's got some history with it, all right? And if you don't mind bringing it in, bring it in. How many of you have got photos, family photos? Come on. I'll just lay my phone down. No, don't do that. That doesn't work. But you do have those gizmos that where it flashes, okay, so you can do that if you want to. All right, that's good. Okay, that's on the 5th. And we're doing close to home also on the 12th. We are going to honor all the ladies on Mother's Day. Mother's Day is the 12th. And so I want you to bring your mom or somebody's mom. And all the ladies, 18 years of age and up, are going to receive some wonderful gifts to take home. So everybody's going to get it absolutely free. I hope you'll come. And we have flyers, and these have the advertising on the front and the plan of salvation on the back. And so let's go ahead. Gentlemen, if you'd come right now, and let's make sure everybody's got some of these. Let's get these all out all through the audience today so that we can invite family, friends, neighbors to come out on Mother's Day. Now, as you're doing that, let me continue on. Through the month, we have also the 19th and the 26th as special Sundays. As we think about precious memories, what do we think of when we think of the 19th and the 26th? Well, the 18th, which is a Saturday, the 18th is Armed Forces Day. And so on the 19th, which is Sunday, we're going to honor our armed forces. Now, specifically, when we have these military honors days, we want to designate, of course, that day is for honoring those that are in active military service. And we don't leave anybody out. So if we have veterans or those who have passed on, we, on every military honors day, we honor everybody. So we're going to be honoring especially the brave living serving right now, but also we're going to honor those who have served in the past, veterans, and those who've passed on. Because on the 26th, we will also honor those who have passed on that weekend, which is known as Memorial Day. They used to call it Decoration Day, and they would have parades. And it was, I mean, there was a lot of patriotism in those days. And I don't mean colonialism or anything like that. I'm just glad to be an American. And God has blessed us so much. And things aren't perfect, but I sure am blessed, you know. That'd make a song. Things aren't perfect, but I sure am blessed. Amen. That's a good patriotic theme. All right. So for 2 weeks, we will have up the military items, the paraphernalia, pictures, photos, all the military honors, plaques and so forth that you want to bring in for those who are currently serving, those that are living, and those who have passed. And we will have our military honors days for 2 days, the 19th and the 26th. Precious, precious memories. I am glad to be part of a church that doesn't leave off the important things. We want to remember the important things. Now, in the month of June, we'll have graduation and promotion. We'll have Father's Day in the month of July. Mark this down, please. Mark this down and don't forget this. The 4th of July falls on a Thursday. Now, just plan to be in town and come here. And we'll have sign-up boards going around here in a few weeks. And we're going to combine two great efforts on one day. Thursday, the 4th of July, we'll celebrate as a church family picnic and great time. But we're also going to merge with that our July extravaganza for youth. So we'll have the youth thing going on simultaneously. They'll have some games, races, and so on and so forth going on, some contests. And at the end, they'll have their awards and prizes. So we'll have even more prizes and more fun than we have in the past. We're going to try to combine it this year on the 4th of July. Everybody nod your head up and down. You understand that's a Thursday and you need to be here. All right. Registration for the kids will be at 9 o'clock and we'll start off with a bang at 10 o'clock and we'll have nail pounding and we will have this tossing and that throwing and this running and this pulling and tugging and all kinds of fun things. All right, it's going to be good. Amen. Amen. All right, we got some giveaways today for the upcoming month of May. That starts this Wednesday. We've got Days of Praise. That looks like it's on fire. Isn't that pretty? Kind of a salmon colored, I think. Kind of a, I'm not sure what else that might be called. Yeah, peach, salmon, coral. All right. Beautiful, beautiful. And it's got helps in it so that you can read through your Bible and have devotions. And then this is stunning. Got that hummingbird on that bright green background, and it's creationist. And we know that God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. And He's sustaining. And if he loved us so much to give us all this beauty, He must love us enough to give us heaven if we'll just go His way. So we have these to pass out right now. So ushers, one more time, please, if you would come. And let's make sure everybody gets one of these. Now, everybody raise your right hand and say, I promise not to read these, while the preacher's preaching, Amen and amen. Thank you very much. All right, that's good. Now, you who are online, if you want a bulletin, all you have to do is scroll down and tap. If you want to get one of these, you got to let us know. Come on in and get yours. They're absolutely free. These don't cost anything. They're absolutely free. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen and amen. All right. We are going to say just a quick word about the giving. At the end of the service, we are going to have the opportunity to give as unto the Lord. And we have the tithe offering envelope. So if you'd like to give the tithe and over and above for missions, notice on the back wall the good giving to missions each month. We're up over our glide path. Wally, if you're watching, you did good, all right? For years and years, he was our missions director. They moved south of here, but he tunes in every once in a while. Want you to know we're ahead of the glide path. Amen. People are giving. So give your tithes and your missions offering. And then on the back of the pew in front of you, in that little rack, we have the offering envelope with the light blue writing on it. It says, prepare for revival. We're part of a great effort to revive us again across the nation, up in Winona Lake, Indiana, in that historic surroundings. On the 21st of June, there'll be a great revival conference with three full meetings. Your preacher is in charge of all the special music and congregational singing and the sing-alongs and everything. There'll be a half-hour run-up to a morning service. There'll be a 1 hour of nothing but music and choirs and groups in the afternoon, and 1 hour of music, and it's all followed by old-timey preaching, but we get to set the table. We get to set the mood, amen? And so we're not going to have any of that lounge-sounding music. It's going to sound like, revive us again, amen? Folks are going to get excited. So give, if you would, to that effort. We want to support it strongly. It's going to take our giving. And then we have also the envelopes. They have a little stickum on it. It's a church activity, and it says fair. Now, we go on out to the fair if you want to. Prince William County Fair is, by attendance in history, has been the largest fair in the state of Virginia. More people come by the booths and so forth and participate in the activities out there and so forth. And the reason we give to this is because it's going to cost us a minimum probably around $4,000. We want to raise the money for the booths. We are going to have side-by-side booths. We're going to win souls to Christ. Each year, we win several hundred people to Christ. Several hundred others are spoken to. We give out 6,000 minimum, 6,000 gospel tracts and portions of Scripture. And I want you to give to this. And I'm not asking you to do something I haven't done myself, and I am willing to continue to do. So there you have all those things going on. Keep praying. God answers prayer. How many of you believe that? Amen. And the little twin girls, the grandchildren of Pastor and Mrs. Kirchhoff, the church where Brad and Callie and the kids go up in Middletown, their grandchildren, twin girls, Emma and Samantha, have had a rough go, but they're still alive, breathing and with us. They were premature, and they've had a lot of things go on, but I am praying that God will raise them up, heal them, and they'll grow up to be fine young ladies who will know Jesus Christ and serve Jesus Christ with their life. Amen? Amen. So I want you to pray with me on that. We want to also pray for the sick, for the hurting. We have a number of people that are bereaved. Laura Bruder, who attended here many years ago, and moved south, has just passed away. Got word through Vicki from the relatives, and so we want to pray for the family on Laura's passing. But we know where Laura is. Pray for your preacher. I get asked to speak various places, and one of the joys that we have is to go and speak at the Fellowship House. All you folks that are watching from Fellowship House, God bless you. And they were here in attendance, had the privilege of bringing a bunch over yesterday for the tea, and they participate, and they consider us to be their home away from home. They consider me to be their preacher. And so I have been asked to conduct, again, a very special session, a bereavement session, because so many of them do pass away. They're up in age, and so there's a higher mortality rate there. And I'll be doing that on the 15th of May. Mark it down. I want you to pray at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, praying that souls will be saved. And we'll be singing and preaching and teaching on the subject of heaven, how to know you're going there, how to have peace with God, all of these important things. Whenever we preach, of course, we draw the net. So thank you so much for your prayers in our behalf. Likewise, we are going to be scheduling some times to train up the next generation. I've done my best with God's help. In my weakness, His strength has been made perfect. And for these many decades to preach, and what the founder of this church, Harry Owens' wife, said that she was so glad about on our last anniversary that she was with us. She said, "I'm so glad." And Pastor Harry would be so glad to know this church still stands for and preaches the same as it always has. Amen. And it's not going to change. It's not going to change. And we have voted in already Associate Pastor Tyler Candy. And Brother Tyler, for the next 50 years or whatever God gives you, it's going to be the same old King James Bible, old paths preaching. Amen. It's going to be a Baptist church, right? Independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. Amen. Glory to God. That's it. Now, I'm teaching the Timothys that are coming along, each generation. I've got some Timothys that are older than I am that I've trained. I've got some Timothys that are my age that are younger than I am, some that are on down all the way, just, you know, basically adult. Those are the Timothys. There are some younger ones coming up that we're going to be training in the future. But I am training the Timothys to become the Pauls to train the Timothys. And that's the way it ought to be. Every church ought to be in the business of training up the next generation. Train up the next generation. Train up the next generation. Train up the next generation. Glory to God. Let's do that. Amen. Take your Bible. Hold it up, if you would, please. If you got no Bible, take the Bible that's on the back of the bench in front of you, and let's hold it up. All right. Now, here's what I believe. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And if you believe that, say it with me. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Now, I believe there are no mistakes in it. If you believe that, say it. I believe there are no mistakes in it. And then here's what I'm going to do. God helping me, I'm going to try to obey it. God helping me, I'm going to try to obey it. Amen. That's what it's all about. It isn't just about knowing it. It's about living it. And if this world is going to see Jesus Christ, they're going to have to see Jesus Christ, look at me and in you and in me, through our life. So often I'll pray, "Lord, walk in my shoes. Lord, live in my body, live in my life. Lord, work through my actions. See through my eyes, think in my mind, speak through my mouth. Lord, I want you to have total control." That's total surrender. We have to keep on doing that because you know what? We're a bunch of thieves. We keep taking it back, don't we? We take back our time. We take back our interests. We take back our desires. Who's supposed to make the choices in our life? The one who owns us. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are the Lord's. They belong to the Lord. That's it. So He ought to be making the decisions. Where I go, who I'm with, what I'm doing, what I choose, all my choices. That's it. We've been singing about footprints of Jesus. And I'm looking at these bulletins. The prayer bulletin has a picture of what somebody thinks Jesus Christ may look like, but a shepherd with a little lamb. There you go. There's that connection. This is a more modern shepherd with his sheep. On the front of the bulletins, we have that picture. One thing about sheep, they need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. This world needs good leaders. Amen. Amen. I've said it. It's in the brief clips online. I've said it. It's in, somebody has said the things that preacher said, so they've taken down some of those things. And one of the things I've said that I'll say again, and that is this. You can never be a great leader until you're first a great follower. You got to be a great follower. You got to learn how to follow. And what we want to follow is that which is settled. We want to follow the footprints, the footsteps of Jesus, because He's leading us the right way. This is so very important for us to get tonight and to put down in our hearts deep. Now, each of us, each one of us, each individual who's here today is potentially a leader. You say, I don't want to be a leader. I don't want to be a role model. Potentially, that's going to happen, sometimes accidentally, but it's going to happen. Somebody's going to see you. Somebody's going to key off you. Somebody's going to follow you. And there is no better pattern than the pattern God has given us in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the kind shepherd. There it is. And we know His voice. His voice comes loud and clear through the Word of God. If you've been saved, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of Christ inside of you. The Holy Spirit, that's God. Third person of the Trinity inside of you. When you read the Scripture, the Holy Spirit confirms that. And we're told in the Gospel according to John that when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. And He will show you things to come. He's going to teach us and guide us and direct us, and that's what we want. Sheep have to have a shepherd. And the shepherd is not a cattle driver. The shepherd is a sheep leader. All right, so we don't technically herd the sheep. There is a herd and there is that cohesiveness. But you don't push them. You don't drive them. And anybody knows anything about effective leadership, that's the way it's got to be. If you spend all your time telling people that you're the leader, they're never going to want to follow you. You may be the leader. And so that is the answer. The way to be what you ought to be and to get the response that God wants you to get is not to constantly harp and again and again, over and over, loudlier, repeat, I'm the leader. I'm the boss. Pretty soon there'll be a big echo in the room because nobody else will be there. I'm the boss, 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 boss. They won't be there. The way to be the leader is just that. Be the leader. Show some leadership. Demonstrate some godly character. Say, we need people of character and leadership. There are too many characters where there ought to be people of character, of good character, of godly character, of high character. And you're not born to it. A lot of people who have been born to position or money or power really don't live up to it. A lot of people who have risen to a position of authority have done so by diligence, by character traits that you're going to recognize as we're talking this morning a little bit more. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs is in the Old Testament, and it's right after the Psalms. So if you turn halfway into your Bible, you come to somewhere in the Psalms and keep turning till you come to Proverbs, and then go on to the 27th chapter. That's the way to find it. All right, everybody with me? You folks online with me? All right, here we are, Proverbs 27. And please notice verse 23. Here's what it says. Be thou diligent, hardworking. All right, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. That's it. Just a few words, not many words, but that sums up responsibility. The responsibility of a person who has either been given responsibility or you've earned responsibility, as the case may be, real soon it's going to be determined whether or not you are a worthy leader. And one way to begin is every single day be reminded of who you are, where you came from, who's responsible for that, what you're trying to accomplish, what your goals are. You need to have a constant self-reminding of that. And if you'll do that, you'll be one of those God-helped, entrusted leaders, somebody who's got the ability, who's got the enhancements, all of the gifts that are necessary, and you've developed them, and you're going to use them for the glory of God. You can't just be an accidental leader without some development and be a success. To be the kind of leader that God wants you to be, you've got to get into the Word and understand some leadership principles. The greatest book on leadership is the Bible. The greatest model is Jesus Christ. So we need to be diligent to know the state. We need to know what's going on with the flocks. It's been said, and I say to all of those that I mentor, as pastor, the word pastor means shepherd. I'm the under-shepherd under Jesus Christ. I'm responsible to Him. I answer to Him. And I should be concerned about what my sheep are eating and what's eating my sheep. That's so important. It's so important. And you need to apply that as parents. You need to apply that in your marriage. You need to apply that as grandparents. You need to apply that in your work situation. As you work with people and as you're responsible for groups of people, you need to apply that principle. You need to be diligent to know the state of thy flocks, to know what's going on with them, what they're feeling like, what they're experiencing, what they're lacking, what they're worried and concerned about. Those things are important. I have the opportunity of interacting with folks, and while I will not use your specific state as an illustration, I want you to know that when you talk to me, the Lord works on my heart. When I bring messages, it's what the Holy Spirit of God leads me to bring. And involved in all of that process are the things that you're going through, the challenges that you're facing, the difficulties that you're having in life, and God knows all about it. And so He has me stand up as His representative and say, there's only one way to succeed, and that is to know and to do the will of God. You need to get into the Word until the Word of God gets into you. The will of God is found in the Word of God. Did you read your Bible every day? Did you memorize something? Did you use it this week? Did you share it with somebody? Is it the most important thing in guidance and in your life and as you operate within the realm of relationships? It'd be wonderful if every relationship on this planet were guided by this book. So why, it would be so boring. No, it wouldn't. It'd be so orderly and so right. And then if you add the dimension of the Spirit of God who breathes life into the Word and into its application. My. Think about that. Think about it. If this town, if this state, if this nation were run by the Word of God, what a different place each of those would be. Now let's personalize it. If my life, if my marriage, if my family, if those with whom I work, my neighbors, my friends, if it were all guided by the Word of God, I know there's a song, what a wonderful world it would be. I'm saying, if we had the Word of God, what a wonderful world it would be. Amen. That's it. Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Now that look well, underline it. And I want to give you a quote from my dear friend in life who is now in heaven, Wally Beebe, Mr. Buss. Wally Beebe said, your people do not necessarily do what you expect. They do what you inspect. And that is true. That is true. Now, we don't want to be breathing down somebody's neck and making them feel uncomfortable. If you've worked with me, you know I like to give you a little rope. Not enough to hang yourself, but a little rope, don't I? I give you a little lead line there. Why? Because God has given everybody some ability and some potential, and they need to develop it. They need to get it right. And if it's not exactly on. Now, I would like to be able to tell you that everyone I've ever mentored never needed any guidance or direction, but then that would make me unnecessary. So I'm not going to tell you that. There have been some who listened better than others. And you got a good one right here in Brother Tyler. He has listened. He's doing right. He's doing well. Amen. So there it is. The Bible teaches us then to pay close attention to the status of our flocks. Go back into the Psalms. They're right there. Just go to the left real quickly. All right. Psalm 77. Go Psalm 77. Psalm 77. There's a lot of shepherd sheep verses in here, and we will just take a few moments to mention them. Psalm 77. Psalm 77 and verse number 20. A review of where Israel had been from Moses to David. Look at this. Verse 20. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Your marriage, your family, your job, your school, your military experience, your society, your country, all of that. All right, listen to me very carefully. God needs to be over all of that. We need to acknowledge God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. All right, so there it is. He's going to direct the paths. He's going to lead out. We need to put God over every venue, over every relationship. There it is. But notice, He's got some hands on earth. And during the time of Moses, God's hands were actually in Moses' hands. Moses had responsibility. He's out there in the wilderness with 2 to 3 million refugees who's come out of slavery under the Pharaoh and have crossed the Red Sea, and they're in the wilderness and they're wandering for 40 years because they refused to go in when they had the opportunity because they were afraid of the giants and the fenced cities and the chariots of iron and so forth. And so they hesitated, so God said, okay, I'll send your kids in, but you're going to wander for 40 years and die off in the wilderness. So everybody who was above 20 years of age died off in the wilderness. They had a good full life, but they never got to get into Canaan. They didn't get into the promised land. They didn't get to appropriate what was promised them. So Moses' job, I got my hands up, Moses' job was to lead them. Regardless of where God had them, he was to lead them. Where did he happen to lead them? In the wilderness. And sometimes your experience may seem like a wilderness. You're holding a spot. You're taking folks on a route or whatever. And you're doing that. All right? And everybody who comes along ought to be mentored. And he mentored a fellow by the name of Joshua. And who became the leader after Moses? Joshua. So Joshua got a good look at Moses for those 40 years as he leads them. Okay, his hands are just like the hands of God. He's leading them. He's taking them where the Lord says, take them. They were led by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, and they were led wherever it was. And sometimes it may not have made a lot of sense, but Moses said, I know my job. What was his job? Be the hands of the Lord. Be the leader. So he has to follow. So the cloud goes this way, and the pillar of fire goes this way, and then it comes back around, and it goes this way, and he's leading them, and they're following because that's the way God does it. Raise up a Joshua. Raise up someone to follow. And after the death of Joshua, they had some confusion. They had a problem because they didn't have a strong leader. Very important. He led the people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And then as we move on, we get all the way down to David, and we have many, many, many scriptures about David. Let's go over to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. We're turning there in the Psalms to Psalm 107. All right, there we go. And this is the beginning of the last division of the book of Psalms. And it starts off the same way. It tells about all the things that the Lord did. All right. And look what it says in verse 41. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh them families like a what? Flock. So what's our family supposed to be? It's supposed to be like a flock. Like sheep. We need a shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. I'll never forget a young couple was trying out for a position in a church and happened to be there at the time, and they were asking questions. And they asked the lady of the house a question. They said, and somebody almost with a smirk, because I don't know if they were expecting her to answer in a liberated fashion, but they said, who's the leader in your house? Who's the head of your home? And then kind of sat back with a smirk, the one that was the questioner. And she thought a moment and she said, Jesus is the head of our home. Now, there are varying responsibilities, folks, but listen to me. It's not your job, guys, because you're bigger and stronger and meaner. Nor yours, ladies, whether he's bigger and stronger and meaner or not. It's the job of Jesus Christ. And then Christ in and through us to complete those roles that God has given us. Husband, wife, parent, children, extended family, etc. All of that, very important. Now notice this, verse 42. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Oh my, look at that. Look how that works. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The leadership of the Lord is loving and kind, unlike the harsh leadership. See, there's good leadership, bad leadership. There are good leaders and bad leaders. Bad leaders are genocidal. Bad leaders are mean, and they don't care about people. They don't care how many people it costs. You know, how many lives it takes to build the pyramids. How many, you know what I'm saying? Those are not good leaders. They might be strong leaders. They might be memorable leaders. But they're not people of character that we want to emulate. God wants us to be as the Lord is. Now, how do you know how the Lord is? Well, we have a list here of 23 revealed attributes of God. He's self-existent, self-sufficient, eternal, infinite, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, wise, immutable, sovereign, incomprehensible, holy, righteous, just, true, faithful, light, good, merciful, gracious, love, spirit, one, and Trinity. And the beautiful thing about this list is every quarter when we have an extravaganza, we're teaching the kids layer upon layer who the God of the Bible is. Not the God of their imagination, but the God of the Bible. Those particular characteristics. Now, in these characteristics, we see a balance. You see, David started out as a shepherd, but he became the warrior king, didn't he? And Jesus Christ is symbolized or typified by David. So Jesus Christ is spoken of in Isaiah as being the wonderful counselor. He's the one who cuddles us. He's the one who embraces us, who carries us home on his shoulders, who looks after us, protects us, who shows us, you know, the pastures where we need to go and the still waters alongside which we drink and so forth. He's the one that does all of that. He's a wonderful, wonderful, loving shepherd, but he's also the warrior king. He's also the warrior king. He's the one who protects us. He's the one who's watching over us and taking care of us, and praise God for that wonderful truth. As we speak of leadership, and keep in mind this, the most balanced being, capital B, being in the universe is God. We are not as balanced. Perfect balance. God in his many attributes is the only perfectly balanced being in the universe. And just like David, who typifies, Jesus is both the wonderful counselor who soothes us, salves us, binds our wounds, loves on us. He's also the warrior king who's watching out for us. And I'm glad, what a mighty, mighty king I serve, Jesus Christ. He's my protector. He's my defender. I don't have to worry. He's got it all under control. Now, we need to be balanced leaders. I know that we're not omnipotent, we're not omniscient, we're not self-existent, we're not self-sufficient. We're only immortal, we're not eternal, but we have eternal life, amen. And we've got access to everything that God has, that he gives us. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so here it is. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. And is profitable for doctrine. That's what's between the pages. For doctrine. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Show us where we're wrong. For correction. Fix it. And for instruction in righteousness, to give us the right way to go. To show us the right way to go. There it is. Very simple. I hope you're getting this today. we have the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God. Everybody say, man of God. Man of God. Now, we're going to diverge because the man of God refers to humanity. So say, woman of God. Woman of God. Whether you're a man of God or a woman of God, and you ought to know which you are. All right? Come on. Amen. Man of God or woman of God. All right? That's what God is working on right now. He's working on you and me from the inside out to make us what we ought to be, like the old song by the Hemphills. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen. Amen. From the inside out, He's working on us to make us what? The word that is used in the King James Bible is perfect, which means complete. I'm not finished yet. Have patience with me. I'm not finished yet. The old bumper sticker says that's it. Why do we want to be complete? I'll tell you why. Because God deserves us to be complete. He's already invested the blood, the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the God-man. He's already invested the passion of Jesus Christ in you and me. If you had been the only sinner who ever lived, He would have died for you. He would have been buried for you. He would have risen from the dead for you. If you were the only one, He would have died for you. He would have taken your sin. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but His longsuffering does work, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Whosoever, whosoever, that's anybody, fill in your name, whosoever will, whosoever will. If you'll come to God through Christ, you can be saved right now. Now, when that happens, you're on your way to heaven, signed, sealed, delivered, it's done, it's finished, amen, praise God. But He's still working on me. What's He working on me for? So that I can represent Him right. Amen, come on, preacher! So I can do what I'm supposed to do the way I'm supposed to do it, and people can see Jesus. So sinners, send the old time power. Amen. That Pentecost power. That sinners be converted and Thy name glorified. We need old time heaven sent Holy Ghost revival in this place and every place that claims to be a Bible preaching church. We need an old fashioned Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival in every home that claims to be Christian, in every relationship that claims to be Christian. It all needs to be under Jesus Christ. It all needs to be under His power and His authority. Jesus said, all authority, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Amen. Now we know that already, who's got the authority. We are to reflect the glory of God. We are to serve God for His glory. We are to be His ambassador. The ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Those attributes I talked about are the key. We need to yield to God in every area of our life. And I'm so glad the Bible says to Israel that they had a shepherd that led them like a flock. I'm glad that today every born-again Christian is like his sheep. God chose David, took him from the sheepfold, to lead His people, because the same principles for leading sheep on the human level are to be applied to leading people, to lead that flock by the hand like Moses and Aaron and David and others did. Don't have a mock fit of humility and say, I just can't do that. I can't live up to that. There's nobody here on their own who can. But you can have a marriage, a home, you can have a job, you can have a military career, you can have your position in society, you can be a neighbor, a friend, like you ought to be if you'll let the Lord have His way. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Every head bowed, every eye closed, and nobody looking today. And how many of you would say, preacher, something in that message spoke to my heart? Put your hand up high. Come on. Something spoke to my heart. Amen. 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 You can do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, the Bible says. And if today you're going to claim that, I'm going to invite you. If you raised your hand, you meant it, come on down, sit or kneel and have a word of prayer. Go back to your seat. Say, Lord, I'm depending on You. I'm giving it over to You, Lord. I'm letting You. And you let Him lead you. And you come and you pray and you say, Lord, I'm rededicating, reconsecrating. It's all Yours. You go ahead and lead me. You go ahead and work in and through my life. Speak through my mouth. Work through my life. May others see Jesus in me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you saved? Do you know that you're going to heaven? Are you positive beyond any doubt that heaven is your home? If you are not, and you'd like to be, this is for every person here, young and old alike. If you cannot remember a time when you prayed and received Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, then right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you pray from your heart to God silently? This is personal, so pray from your heart to God silently. Here's what you pray. Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I'm a sinner. I deserve to pay for my sins. I deserve to pay for my sins. I believe Jesus died to save me. I believe Jesus died to save me. Right now, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. Right now, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior, as my personal Savior. Please take away my sins. Please take away my sins and take me to heaven when I die. And take me to heaven when I die. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. And if you prayed that prayer and you meant it today, I want you to do something. When the music starts to play, I want you to come from where you are. I'll be standing down front center aisle. Just come to me, shake my hand, and say, I prayed that prayer. I'll know what you mean. I'll have someone show you from the Bible about the Christian life. If you desire baptism or membership, I want you to come and speak to me also. Otherwise, I want all the Christians to whom the Spirit of God has spoken today, come and have a word of prayer and rededicate, reconsecrate, and say, Lord, I'm going to let you lead in my life. Let's stand to our feet and let's sing, Just As I Am.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in the path that I must run. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Yeah.